And I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is a very rare occasion, but I almost always will announce to you on Sunday morning the topic of my Sunday evening sermon. Throughout the afternoon, as I thought about it and prayed about it, God changed my mind. And so I'm preaching a little different this morning. I talked about preaching a sermon tonight called The Pathway to Peace. And I've changed that. I'm going a little different direction in a moment. I'll just let the sermon introduce itself. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Stand with me if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to look at verse number 8. The Bible says this, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Take your eyes back to verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That verse will launch us into the thought of tonight's sermon. And let's pray if we could. Father, bless us now. Do a work in our midst. I pray that somehow tonight we will challenge and change a life. Most of all, God, I'm thinking maybe we could salvage one. Bless this simple sermon, please. Holy Spirit, do the work, that supernatural work. That work that is below the surface, the private work, the work that only God could do on the inside of someone. Oh, do that work tonight. Salvage, especially, a young person. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. My sermon tonight is very simply entitled, Wrong Thinking. Wrong Thinking. In a few minutes, I am about to make a challenge to the young people in our church, and I'm going to talk to you about your thinking. I want to say this to the parents. I'm going to make a very, very simple statement, and then I'm going to turn my attention to tonight's sermon. Parents, one of the best things you can do for your young people is to make sure that you personally are right with God. I have people not paying attention already. Young people, look up this way. Parents, one of the best things you can do for your children is make sure you're right with God. One of the best ways to assure that a child is having revival in their life is to make sure that the parents are having revival in their lives. You say, I'd really like to help my kids. Then you better help yourself. You better help yourself. Now, if I may, let me talk to you about this simple sermon, Wrong Thinking. 1 Corinthians 13:11, as we read it there, we find out that God says, he makes that statement, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Evidently, God says there is a way that a child thinks. There is a way that a child understands. There is a way that a child speaks. And he said that needs, there comes a point in time in life where that needs to be put away. Well, then what do you do? Well, you stop thinking as a child and you go to the next level of thinking. Maybe that's it being a teenager. But then there comes a point when a teenager needs to stop thinking like a teenager. You put away teenage behavior and then you become an adult, a young adult. But even just because you turned 18 or just because you became a young adult, you're not done being groomed, you're not done being trained, you're not done being taught. There comes a point when you put young adult thinking aside, you step up to another level, and we keep stepping up in our reasoning and our growth and our thoughts. You step up all the way to heaven if you're doing it the right way. because we're growing all the way to heaven. Now, God said there. He said there's a way that a child talks and acts, and when he tells us about putting it away, it's not just stepping up to the next level. Sometimes it's stop thinking that way. You need to stop thinking or acting like a child. You know, folks, in every era of life, there are dangers in the way that we think. For instance, little children. I was at Walmart the other day, and mom and dad had their little boy, and they had a basket full of goods, and they were walking out of Walmart, and the little boy took off running for the car. Oh, it panicked his dad because the little boy started to run out into the traffic, the thoroughfare, and dad ran out there and grabbed him real quick, and dad wasn't rude or unkind to him, but I heard dad telling him, he said, son, you just can't run out there like that. And the little boy said, I was just going to the car. And dad was trying to explain to him, you could get hit by a car. A child, they don't fear danger like they're supposed to. They just don't know sometimes to fear danger. A child, if you and I would let children eat anything they want, they would have ice cream for breakfast. They'd have candy bars for lunch. They'd have potato chips for supper. And there are all sorts of wives right now looking at their husbands. Wow, that's exactly what my husband would do. But you know, if you let a child pick their clothing, they won't dress. They won't coordinate it. They will have things that don't match. They'll have things buttoned up crooked. Well, there's a way of thinking that a child is known for. But then, not only that, you take, for instance, we'll skip what we'll call the teenage years for a moment because we're going to come back to those. Take a young married couple. That's an era of life. Now, let me tell you something. There are some dangers for young married couples. Young married couples sometimes don't control their finances very well. They both have an income, and they're spending money. They're no longer a teenager. They're no longer under mother and father's dominance. They have their money. They have their job. Many a young couple has gotten older in life and said to themselves, I sure wish we would have handled our money better in the start. Way too many people decide to get serious about how they handle their money later on. And if they would have started younger, they would have been better off. Young couples are notorious for doing that. Young couples are notorious for getting married and then getting to enjoy the married life so much that they just forget about serving God. We're going to enjoy one another. We're going to enjoy life. And so they get to enjoying life and dating and vacations and this and that and the other. And before long, they don't come to church hardly anymore. And they've launched into an element, a very fun, being a young couple can be a lot of fun, but you're not supposed to leave God out of it. But there's a danger. There are certain dangers that young couples can face, like there are dangers that children can face. Hey, if you're middle-aged, you say, what is middle age? I don't have an answer to that. You'll have to decide what middle age is. But if you're middle age, and honestly, I'm just going to throw some numbers out there. If you're 35 to 55 years of age, I want to recommend something to you. That's a very dangerous era of life. You say, why? Most middle-aged people think they know it all. They really do. My discovery, and church work is what I do. It's what I do. It's what I throw myself into. Most of your disloyalties and your disunification in the church come from people between 35 and 55 years of age because they think they know better than the pastor, and they've been around long enough now, and they've got an idea of what ought to be done, and they're smarter than the pastor. And then in that middle age, let me tell you this also, they begin to want to recapture their youth. So you ever seen a 55-year-old person that's decided now they're going to pierce their ear and they're going backwards. They're going backwards. They want to recapture some of that youth. They don't want to feel middle-aged. They want to feel young again. Did you know there are dangers even for senior citizens? Hey, did you know a senior citizen can get set in their ways to the point where they won't even obey God? This is how I've done it all my life. This is how I'm going to do it. Well, I've got news for you. If the way you've done it all your life is not the way God wants it done, it doesn't matter if you're 70 years of age, you're supposed to change it. So, well, that would be hard. Well, no harder than a 3-year-old learning how to be potty trained. It's hard for them, too. Should they all just give up? No. We're all in agreement on that. At every era of life, there are dangers. At every era of life, there's a bit of a mindset that comes with that. Hey, senior citizens, and again, I am not going to try to help you figure out what that is. But if you feel like somehow you qualify or are about to qualify, tell you what, the older one gets, I think that they feel less needed in life. You can't do what you once could do, and you begin to struggle with the feeling needed or feeling wanted. And so, you know, in the church, you're always going to be needed and you're always going to be wanted. You might not be able to do what you once could, but you can do what you can do. If the day comes when I need to retire, I tell you what I want to do. I want to be a blessing down at the church and get everything I can done for God. I really, really do. I don't want to be in the road. I just want to be a part of the plan. I might not be able to climb up on a ladder, but I sure can do something and I will do it. But in every era of life, folks, there are little dangers. In every era of life, a child, a young married couple, middle-aged people, senior people, there's a mindset, and that mindset is indicative of that age group, and that mindset could be bad. There's a series of what I'd call routine thinking flaws that teenagers, young people, the youth can tend to make. I'd like to help our young people with those. If I warn you, young people, of what are some of the danger spots, if you're a young person, what are some of the danger spots in your thinking? I might be able to help you to bypass some of them. I might be able to help you to make some real good decisions in your teenage years. Young people, don't let wrong thinking destroy you. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to think God's way. Every teenager, and you young people, look, I want you to look up here at me. And it's young people that are not paying attention. I hardly ever have to call people down, but look up this way. I want to help you. And if I can help you with your thinking, we can spare you from a lot of issues in life. Now, you say, well, Pastor, this is a sermon then for teenagers. No, it's a sermon for parents. It's a sermon for everybody. The children, if they'll listen, they'll grow as a result of it. But in a special way, young people, teenagers, if you will, listen to me for a few minutes. And this sermon's not going to be harsh or hard. It's not going to be long. I'm going to give you some observations. I've been working with young people for an awful long time, and I've dealt with thousands and thousands of young people. I've counseled a lot of teenagers and their parents. Let me talk to you about your thinking. And if we can keep you from thinking wrong, we'll be able to help you not to make mistakes in your life. First of all, here's something that teenagers think. Today is more important than tomorrow. Today is more important than tomorrow. Young people wrongly don't think about how today's decisions will affect their tomorrow. Now, young people, let me explain. Tomorrow, some of you are going to wake up and realize what you did today, and you're going to say, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? But so many times, you act on impulse now, then you wake up tomorrow, and you regret it. I'm not saying that today or tomorrow, either one, are more important than the other. I'm saying they are both important. And you better stop and think today about what you're about to do, because today can affect your tomorrow. Young people tend to think of right now. What do I want right now? They're immediate oriented. It's right now. So many times you don't realize that what you do in your youth often carries into your adulthood. You say, preacher, I never intended on being a drunk. I just wanted to go drinking with all my friends. Let me tell you something. Many a drunk just wanted to go drinking with their friends, and it carried right into their adulthood. You say, I never intended to be an immoral person that slept around and did wrong things. I just wanted to dabble. Let me tell you, dabbling in immorality in your youth is what will carry you into tomorrow's adulteries and fornications and wrongdoing. So, young people, a mistake that is indicative of your age group is you get to thinking that what you want today is more important than what's going to happen to your tomorrow. And just be careful of it. Many a young person has looked back and said, I wish I could take back that day. I wish I would have never done that. Well, think today about how what you're about to do will affect your tomorrow. Secondly, young people tend to let passion be more important to them than purity. They let passion be more important to them than purity. Teenagers, you were growing up, you were in second grade, and a boy looked at a girl and said, yuck! Yuck! Don't let him touch you. Make sure you've got a cootie shot. You go through that in second grade and third grade and fourth grade. And but there comes a point when all of a sudden you don't feel like you need the cootie shot anymore. And you look and you say, oh, all right, that's interesting. And there's a desire that begins to kick in. And parents, I don't care what you do, you're not going to stop that from happening, okay? But there's a passion that begins to build. Now, I want you to be careful. In your youth, that passion, if not kept controlled, will become overwhelming, and you'll begin doing things that you'll regret eternally. What begins to happen is your passion begins to compete with your character. Parents, if your children are not a very high character, you better keep them up close, or you better help them with their character, because it takes a lot of character to say no to the passions of life. Then the loss of your purity today, you'll be saying, oh, I'm sorry that happened tomorrow. Don't let passion become more important than your purity. And what you say is, I want it. I want it today. Well, let me explain it to you in the most appropriate way I can. You will have what you desire if you'll do it God's way. Someday you'll get married, and you'll have a husband, and you'll have a wife, and those things that are not wrong in your passion as a husband and wife will all be yours. It's not wrong to want the opposite sex. It's wrong to reach out and take it in the wrong timing. Do not let passion in your youth become more important than your purity. Do not let your today ruin your tomorrow. And young people are known for this type of thinking. Thirdly, in our youth, friends can become more important than God. Friends become more important than God. We want to be with our friends more than we want to be with God. We desire to please our friends more than we desire to please God. Who we sit with at lunch is more important than our Bible time. Young people, never is anybody to be more important than God. Ever. If there is somebody in your life that is more important to you than God, you're wrong, and that relationship is soiling your relationship with God. Our friends become more important than God. Now listen, I was a teenager once. You said, really? That was a long time ago. But I do remember it. And I remember how important my friendships were. But I am recommending to every young person in here, you never let your friendships become more important than your God. Let me tell you something else. Never let a boyfriend or a girlfriend be more important to you than mom and dad. I believe young people have no business being boyfriend and girlfriend if they're not madly in love with their mom and madly in love with their dad and madly in love with God. And if you're yoking up with friendships that are pulling you away from mom and away from dad and away from God and away from Jesus, something's wrong. Something's wrong there. There's a mindset. And in our youth, we think today is more important than tomorrow. We think that passion is more important than purity. We think that friends are more important than God, and friends are more important than mom and dad. Number four, young people, teenagers, begin to think that independence is more important than security. Independence is more important than security. Young people, you want to make your own decisions. And just so you know, your parents want you to make your own decisions too. The right way and at the right time. You young people, you say, well, my mom and dad, they just don't want me to make any decisions. That is not true. Your mother and dad do not want to baby you all the way through your life. They're wanting you to learn how to make the right decisions. They might be just trying to tell you right now the timing's not totally right to turn this entire thing over to you. Mom and dad's goal is not to keep you at home with them forever. I will guarantee it. When our last one left home, we were out in the parking lot, my wife and I, and we were crying, saying, oh, goodbye, goodbye. And she turned around the corner. I went in and said, yes! Woo! High five, baby, they're gone. Hot water. I'm going to have peanut M&Ms all to myself. You might think we're trying to keep you at our house, but you're wrong. It's our responsibility to keep you safe and to train you so the day you drive off, you're safe. And you think you already know all about it, and so did we. But your pastor's recommending to you that you're careful because you get to thinking that your independence is more important than your security. See, teenager, you're no longer a child. It gets harder and harder when you feel like you're getting bossed around by mom, bossed around by dad, bossed around by a teacher, bossed around by, you know, your parents, even to the point where you say, I want to make my own decisions. Listen, we want you to learn to make your own decisions. But we want you to make right decisions at the right time in the right way. That's all. But I've watched young people have such a desire to make their own decision, they'll actually make wrong decisions as long as they get to make a decision. And they make some pretty bad ones. You can damage your life, young people, by being insistent on making your own decisions. And again, I promise you, you will get to the point where you will go your separate way and you'll start making decisions. Let your mom and dad, let your preacher, let your Sunday school teacher, let your youth director, let the people that love you help you to make decisions between now and then. Let me tell you something. I'm 55 years of age. That's right, isn't it? Huh? I'm beginning to lose track of how old I am. I'm 55 years of age. I can remember back when I just wanted to make my own decisions and I wanted to be in charge of everything. If you would let me today move back in with my mom and dad and they can make all the decisions, I'd let them tell me how. I would be glad to tell them to make your bed. I'd make it. I mean, hey, if I can go to the fridge and you're going to pay for it and you're going to pay for everything and all I got to do is make my bed or all I got to do is be quiet every once in a while, we're in. Matter of fact, if any of you would take me in, I will do what you tell me to do if you'll just make all the decisions and let me kick back and sail through life. There is in the era of youth, in the area of being a teenager, we get to thinking that what I want today is most important, and we forget that there's a tomorrow. There's fallout from my behavior. Our passions, and parents, surely you remember it. Man, those passions kick in, and they begin to take an interest in one another. Hey, and that's natural, but it's got to be controlled. It's got to be properly channeled. But teenager, never let your passion overrule your purity. That's a mistake. And then your friends become more important than God. And nobody should be more important than God. Or your friends become more important than mom and dad. That should never happen. And then you want your independence so bad that you will place yourself in unsecure situations because you want your independence. It's a mistake in thinking in these years of your life. Next. Young people get to thinking that acceptance is more important than godliness. Acceptance is more important than godliness. Young people want others to like them. I remember being very worried about what people think about me. And when you're a teenager, it is a very big deal. It's a big deal what people think about me. They're looking at me. What are they thinking about me? Hey, somebody could say something in a distant group of people and you think they're talking about you and you're just destroyed and they were talking about me and they didn't even look at you. They don't even know you exist. But they're just totally consumed with the fear that they're not going to be accepted. Sometimes, young people, sometimes you want acceptance so bad, you'll even do some bad things thinking that it will get you acceptance from someone. If a bad person would be around and you could do something bad with them, and then they would accept you and make you a part of their crowd, you're willing to do bad to be accepted. Just so you know, that's real bad thinking. That's real bad thinking. You desire an element of popularity. Boys want the girls to like them. Girls want the boys to like them. And so what do I have to do to be popular? If you have to give up any part of your Christianity to be popular with anybody, you got a raw deal coming your way. Very raw deal. Teens want to be in the in crowd. Whatever crowd seems to be the important crowd. Just so you know, the important crowd is a crowd that loves the Lord. And there are young people everywhere, good young people, that will sacrifice their convictions, their separation, for acceptance. You boys, you never pull away from God because of a bad girl's influence, ever. Say, but I want her to like me. I tell you something, you better keep God's blessing on your life. That's most important. Girls, you should never do something bad to be accepted by a boy. And let me remind you of something. If he says or she says, if you like me or if you love me, we'll do this. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. If he loves you or if she loves you, they will want you to serve God. They would be encouraging you to serve God. People that truly love you and care about you don't try to get you to walk away from God. They try to get you to walk toward God. They don't try to get you to do less for God. They try to get you to do more for God. And so, may I remind you that if you're not thinking right, acceptance by people your age becomes more important than godliness. Let me repeat myself. I'll give you one more thought and we'll be done. Young people get to thinking that today is more important than tomorrow. They don't associate the fallout of tomorrow based on today's behavior. Secondly, our passions become more important than our purity. Thirdly, our friends become more important than God or more important than mom and dad. Then, our independence is more important than our security. Then, gathering acceptance becomes more important than being godly. Then, I want to say this. Independence becomes so important to us. Can I tell you something? It will be soon enough that you will have the independence you seek. But can I tell you, young people, there's never total independence. You've heard me tell this before. Young man came to me. I'm tired of being told by mom and dad what to do. I'm tired of my dad giving me a curfew. I'm tired of my mom telling me to clean my room. I'm tired of being bossed around by my mom and dad. And this is what he said to me. He said, when I turn 18, I'm joining the Marines. And we laugh about that, and you've heard me say it before. Because he thought, I want total independence. That does not exist. You say, well, what's going to happen? There will always be people to dictate what you do. America is not lawless. You can't go to any country in the world and do what you want. Would you? But you want to know what the wonderful thing is? The wonderful thing is there are authorities that God puts into our lives that love us, that care about us. You know, you say, well, I want my freedom. Listen, you launch out and take too much freedom, you'll end up behind bars. They've got rules there. I had a very rebellious young lady. She told her parents, she said, I get so tired, Brother Owens, he preaches and he just keeps a narrow line and he's always talking about walking down that line. I cannot wait till I can get out of this church and I can get away from here. And this isn't anybody here, but years ago, yeah, I cannot wait. I'll find a church where the pastor's not like that. And she did. And she ended up dead within 3 years because she wanted an independence that was not healthy. She didn't want someone to tell her the difference between right and wrong. She didn't want somebody to say to her, there are consequences for your actions. Well, I'm responsible to God to say to you, hey, you roll the dice, you're going to pay the price. You mess around enough, you're going to pay the price. And I'll just warn you, young people, you say, I want independence. There's no such thing as independence. You know, you say, well, when we get to heaven, it'll be different. You're right. Everything you do will be dictated perfectly and wholly. But there's no such thing as total independence. It does not exist. Enjoy the security that's provided by a mom that loves you or a dad that loves you or in a church where they're trying to help you. You young people, you might get the idea that when you're asleep, all the parents come and meet with the pastor, and we all start brainstorming, and we say, what can we do to make the young people miserable? What can we take away from them that will make them mad? What rules can we come up with that will just make them irate with us? And the parents start raising their hands. I've got one I've tried on my kids, and they just hate it when I make them do this. And we all say, good, this will be the week for that one. And next week, we'll sneak out at night, and we'll all meet again and come up with some more things to make them miserable. That's not what we do. You know what we do? We love you and we care about you and we give you some guidelines and some rules because we want you to be safe. That's what we want. I'm finished, but let me remind you, there is a way of thinking in every era of life. And that way could be good or that way could be bad. God said in this passage of Scripture that when you're a child, there comes a point when you need to put away some of those childish ways of thinking. Teenagers have a way of thinking. And I love teenagers. I'm not trying to preach down to you. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show you this is how people think. Hey, your mom and dad had some of these very same thoughts when they were your age. Your pastor thought this way when he was your age. And so I'm just telling you, when you're a teenager, you get to thinking what I want today. It doesn't matter how that's going to affect my tomorrow, but it will. And when your passions kick in, you want something, especially you begin to want the opposite sex. And if you're not careful, you're going to sacrifice something your parents helped you to keep for 15 and 16 and 17 years. And you'll lose a purity that God helped you because you let your passion overrun your command and desire for purity. You begin to let your friends take the place of God and let your friends take the place of mom and dad. That's a mistake. Your independence becomes more important than security. You want to make decisions, but if you're not careful, you'll pull away from mom and dad. And some of you, and under the sound of my voice, if you've gotten in trouble, and you've gotten in a lot of trouble in the last year or two, teenagers, let me tell you something. I'll guarantee you, you were making decisions away from mom and dad. You did something away from mom and dad or away from the preacher, and you did something dumb. What happened? You said, I want my independence. So you're just like a little child. You run out into the Walmart parking lot and you could get hit. And I know you're not a little child anymore, but at your stage, you have bigger toys with which to play, and you'll make a mistake. Acceptance with your friends becomes more important than being godly. All I want to do is help you young people. That's all. To be honest, the teenagers have been on my mind in the last couple of months. I had another sermon entirely to preach tonight. And this afternoon, the Lord made it very clear. Take a little time. try to help the young people not to think wrong. Not to think wrong. Parents, be patient with them. And remember, mom and dad, they're not babies anymore. Teenagers are young adults. And they're going to need some help. There's some adjustment going on for them. And be careful. Let's all just help one another at whatever level. Let's help each one of us to grow and not make mistakes in our thinking. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. To the young people, may I recommend that you think about what's been said. If you're mad, if you're a teenager and you're sitting there and you're mad at me right now, I don't see why you'd be mad. I don't see why you would be mad at me at all. I don't know what's going on in your head. I don't know what's going on in your life. There must be something going on. There has to be something going on for you to feel the way you do about just simple biblical instruction. Young people, let God keep you safe. Let mom keep you safe. Let dad keep you safe. Don't think wrong, because your thinking affects your actions and your life. Parents, be patient with them and love them and help them. I believe that God could salvage a life if some young person would listen to what I said tonight and just examine your thinking. Examine it. Hey, and if you have friends that you need to limit your time with, I'm not telling you to be rude to them. I'm not telling you to hate them. I'm not telling you that at all. Some of you need to say, this stops right here. Stops right now. Not going that direction. I'm not going to live that way. You just take your stand politely and kindly. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has helped me tonight. God has spoken to my heart tonight. Somewhere tucked in this sermon, I've learned something that will help me. Might be a parent. Might be a young person. But you say, God has spoken to me. Boy, there are hands up already. And some good, decent young people. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Lots of hands. And I appreciate that. It might be that some of you need a moment at the altar. And don't ever be afraid of this altar. Your coming to this altar doesn't mean that you're a bad, wicked person. It may mean that you just need to come and get a little extra strength. And we're going to make that available tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Teenager, do you need to come and say, I better be careful how I'm thinking? Moms and dads, if you've listened to what I've said to you tonight, I've helped you to understand maybe some thinking that it gets a little, it wears on our young people. These are realistic matters, realistic situations. What you heard, it kind of describes the thinking of someone in their teenage years. If you need the altar, you come. Church as a whole, pray for our young people. They're a good group of young people. They're a good group of young people. We want to keep them that way. Some of you that have little ones, may I recommend something? If you have little ones and you look at a teenager or two and you say, look at that. My kids will never act like that. If I were you, I'd be real careful. When your child's 3 years of age and you say, they're not out drinking and cussing, well, whoop-de-doo. You better watch it, though. Your kids will grow up and they will face the temptations and the challenges that everybody else's kids face. And your criticalness at this stage of somebody else, you may regret it someday. It's not as easy as what you think. Folks, if any of you are in the back in such a way and you want to exit this side, you certainly can too. That verse said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Lord said there, you need to start thinking right. Don't think like a child when you're a young person, a teenager. Don't think like a child when you're an adult.